This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torver. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Outspoken. Thank you for joining us. Now, Amy, you've had a bit of a busy weekend.
Yeah, I've been house hunting this weekend and Dale couldn't come along. So I thought, who best to bring but Mum? And I loved it because Mum and I have the same taste in houses. And Dale had sent us a whole load of houses to look at that I just knew we weren't going to get. They were real dumpy houses in areas that I wasn't really keen on. So to have Mum there basically commenting all of my thoughts was just hilarious.
Well, just to put it into perspective, because you really want to live in the southeast and Dale wants to live in the northeast. So you guys have been sending one another properties kind of a bit in a passive aggressive way because they're always from the areas that you guys want. And then I've been on walks with you where you're like, I don't even know what to say about this house. It's just not in the location I want.
Yeah, well, maybe I should describe one of the houses that Dale sent me. It was a house. It was so far away from you, especially Kate.
Oh, I don't like it already.
And it was just this old house that was covered in wallpaper. Like the wallpaper was peeling off the wall. There was just musty carpets. There were cages outside where the owners had kept pigeons to race. And I just was like, nah. This is gross, but we need to throw to some commentary of Mum because her catchphrase every time we went into these houses that Dale had picked was basically, it smells in here. I think we need to go to the audio.
What is this? Oh, they're lights. I thought they were like pipes.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, my God.
They stink, don't they?
The hell? What do they call this? How much does it smell?
What the fuck is going on in this? Oh my God.
What?
All these cages.
What?
All these cages.
Perhaps they were a pigeon person.
Fuck, that makes me feel ill.
I have to say, I love how honest Mum is, particularly because she knew she was being recorded.
Yeah, well, I showed Dale the vision so he could check out the houses and we were absolutely cacking ourselves because Mum was just so cute in the vision as well. She was like, now, Dale, I think there's a lot of work in this house that you're going to have to do. So I don't know about this one.
That's hilarious. I feel like you both need to listen to The Property Playbook, which is by a friend of the podcast, Victoria Devine, because she talks about in the first episode how you really have to make sure that your wants and desires in a property are aligning. So I feel like you guys need to do that before going to any more inspections.
Yeah, well, we actually have an Excel spreadsheet that's meant to be sort of our score sheet for each house we look at.
Is it always like you rate Dale's badly that he selected and vice versa?
No, we try and be fair. So it might be like, what score do we give to the location of this house?
Wow.
Then what score do we give to the interior and the exterior and the potential? So it does help it a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think you just kind of have a gut feeling about a house when you see it, whether you'd actually live there or not.
Well, you also have to make the decision to put in an offer so quickly, especially with how competitive it is.
Oh, so. I know. It's ridiculous. Well, you guys have also had a pretty productive week.
Yeah, Sophie and I went and got our skin checked on Monday and I have been putting it off a little bit, but I was really inspired by Courtney Mangan, who, if you don't follow her, you really should go follow her. She has been documenting her journey with melanoma and she is just such an inspiring person. And yeah, it really gave me the kick up the ass to go actually book in my skin check. And it was a really great experience. I mean, yes, it was pretty awkward because you really are at your rawest stripped down to your undies. But I just love how thorough the doctor was when she was doing the skin check. It really made you feel that you were being looked after well.
They do an amazing job because I didn't realize how thorough it actually was. Mm. But anyway, I get up on the bed and for some reason when I'm nervous, I only sweat out of one of my underarms. It's very strange. So I could feel this sweat just trickling under my right underarm and she was checking my left arm and they're so thorough that they pull your arm up to look underneath at your armpit. Anyway, I was thinking, fuck, I know what's coming next. So she pulls up my left underarm and the sweat had just gone down the whole seat. Like it was so visible. I actually had to apologize. And she was kind of a bit like, oh, wow, there is a lot of sweat there. But in saying that, I just felt so relieved after it was done. And it really is not that bad.
Yeah. It's just bad for the technician when you're sweating all over the bed.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually going in on Tuesday and getting a mole removed. It's been really bothering me. And I think, well, just get rid of it. So I'm doing that on Tuesday. So wish me luck because I'm not really good with needles and getting things cut out.
But it is a really important reminder to go and get your skin checked because despite Sophie sweating everywhere, it really isn't bad at all. And it's something that everybody should go out and do. It is very important to get your skin checked.
Can I just say, it's also quite affordable. I know even as silly as it sounds, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can spend the money right now. But you do get a lot back on your Medicare card. And you do think about the shit that you buy at the store. Like, this is so important to do.
I think mine was only $110 and then I got $40 back. I thought it was going to be hundreds for some reason. So yeah, it is very affordable. And just before we get into the main topic, we wanted to send our love and thoughts to our Melbourne listeners who are in another lockdown. We're really thinking of you guys, and hopefully this podcast can entertain you and keep your mind off it for a little while.
When Big Brother mentioned gruel, I mean, I've never seen gruel in my life. I thought it was made up for Oliver Twist film.
5 months after undergoing a breast augmentation, influencer Dani Mansutti has revealed she was forced to have explant surgery after her left implant allegedly collapsed. Followers have questioned why surgeons allowed the UK-based influencer who suffers from body dysmorphia to have the procedure done, while others questioned whether she's followed correct aftercare measures. Soph, what has Dani said about it in her Instagram post?
Well, she did release a rather lengthy post which included photos and videos, and in it she explained that she has now had a total of 3 surgeries in 5 months to try and fix her breast augmentation. So she explained that her left pectoral muscle was cut upwards and off the bone, and subsequently it has been left hanging by a thread. So she explained that this caused her left implant to collapse and bottom out, which is when the breast implant actually falls inside of you and it drops internally into place. Places that obviously it should not be. So
God, that sounds very painful.
Yeah, that's horrendous.
So Dani said that the pain was indescribable. She also explained that it utterly destroyed every aspect of her life, from her work, her mental health, physical health, her finances, and also her private life. She also revealed that she began experiencing early symptoms of breast implant illness. So it was quite disturbing because she showed photos of how she had been pulling out clumps of her hair.
This really shocked me because I've always been very envious of her naturally long, beautiful hair.
Yeah, definitely. I actually thought it was extensions until now because it is so nice.
Yeah, well, one of my friends who's followed her for a long time, I was like, they've got to be extensions. She's like, no, it's not. It's real. And I was like, oh, of course.
Well, as well as all the clumps of hair falling out, she also said that her skin looked very tired. Her whole body ached. She felt like she couldn't breathe, and she was also experiencing a constant brain fog. Now, she has been told by her new surgeon that this surgery has caused her to have a muscle deformity, which she will now have for the rest of her life. So it is incredibly serious what has happened to Dani since she has had this surgery. And what is also shocking is she said that she begged for help and she felt ignored along the process, which is very alarming.
Well, I feel like we've got to put this into some context because Dani actually made the decision to get these breast implants during the COVID lockdown in the UK. So a lot of people at the time really questioned whether she should be getting this type of surgery because, of course, it is elective surgery. And many people accused her of taking hospital beds of those COVID patients. However, it came out that she went to this plastic surgeon that had specific beds for people that were undergoing plastic surgery. So she didn't take a bed away from a COVID patient. However, I feel like the decision to have such a major surgery during a pandemic and something that is elective personally doesn't really sit well for me because you're not going to get that aftercare that you normally would if everything was normal.
It is a really divisive topic and I don't really know where I sit amongst it because on the one hand, I feel really sorry for her that she has had to experience this and endure this pain. But then at the same time, because she has chosen to go and get this surgery and not really do much research into it, then my sympathy is a little bit less for her.
Yeah, I feel like when you're an influencer and you are promoting the fact that you're getting breast implants, there is a duty of care to your followers. And I think going ahead and promoting, I mean, particularly because she came out in her Instagram post and she showed video about how she was suffering from pain from the onset. However, she went on to post a YouTube video, like a try-on haul of her trying on new clothes with her breasts. And for all accounts, she sort of said that her breast implant surgery had gone well. So I feel like it does feel a little bit deceptive. And I do think that an influencer with this many followers should be doing research, because while, you know, of course it's every woman's decision what they do with their body, but I do think if you are an influencer, you putting that out to the world, you are, if you, even if you're not meaning to, you are influencing people to make the same decision as you with their bodies.
We saw Australian influencer Brittany Saunders. She publicly got breast implants, and then she very publicly told the world how she decided to have them removed because she no longer wanted them. I feel like in this instance, Dani is bringing light to the fact that she has had this issue with her breast implants. So I do support her in the fact that she is bringing awareness to the topic, because at the end of the day, everybody does make mistakes, but it's just on such a huge public level.
Oh, I very much think it's really good what she's doing now, but I just think, well, what damage have you made 5 months ago? Yeah, because I personally, and we've spoken about it on a podcast about probably a year and a half ago, I don't feel comfortable with influencers promoting the surgeries that they have online, because I do think that there is a very vulnerable people that watch those videos and feel like they need to do the same. And you are giving them the exact steps. And also sort of, I mean, also when you think about it, there are a lot of plastic surgeries that pay for influencers to have surgery with them.
Well, Dani actually did touch on this in the post. She explained that when she went to her surgeon, she went there as a regular person and actually paid for the procedure. So she wanted to point out that she was not gifted this as an influencer. And she really did touch on the fact that these influencers are given a VIP experience and treatment. And she wanted to reiterate that that is not the reality for most people. She said that the experience that you see online and on YouTube, that will not be the experience for you, because these surgeons have gone out of their way to ensure that these people are receiving the best possible treatment.
Well, even if they do receive the best possible treatment, there is still a chance that they can suffer from breast implant illness and also the complications that Dani is now living with. But if you are getting that surgery for free, you're very unlikely to go back onto a YouTube channel and say that, oh, I'm actually getting my breast implants removed or I'm having all these surgeries. So I think that's where the transparency for me isn't there. And that's why I think it's really maybe something that shouldn't be promoted by influencers online.
And I think that's where it all gets a little bit murky, because if you are being paid or working with a surgeon to promote breast implants, of course you're not going to be talking about your true feelings and experiences.
And I think that's why people are really confused about this whole Dani Mansoody situation, because originally when she got her breast implants done, she shared a YouTube video where she was very complimentary to her surgeon and her experience. So people are sort of asking questions now, well, how come you were being fake?
Is that because she wasn't having any issues at that time?
No, she has now shown in subsequent clips that she was suffering this pain as soon as she got out of surgery. And it sounds as though she leads us to believe that she wasn't believed over the pain. So as soon as she came out, she said she knew that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. So she had been experiencing so much pain on her left side. And when you look at the before and after photos, you can see that one breast, the left breast, is subsequently larger than the other. It is completely lopsided. And I do find it so strange that she did not include, if she hadn't been paid or didn't collaborate with this surgeon, why didn't she give a truthful representation of how after surgery care was for her and how she was feeling?
Well, do you guys think she was actually paid?
I think, well, she claims that she was trying to convince herself that she had done the right thing. You have to think about it. She received a lot of criticism for getting this surgery during COVID. So she probably didn't want to then come out and say, hey, I've actually made a mistake. I'm in so much pain.
That's a good point.
But she really was hinting it, because she kept referencing that she was undergoing some ongoing health issue, but didn't want to elaborate on what it was. And I think many people thought she was referring to her battle with mental health, because she was very distressed and upset about originally not being allowed to fly home to Australia to visit her family. And for anyone who's more interested in that saga, we will link the episodes below where we discuss Dani returning home to Australia.
Well, on the topic of mental health, I feel like there's a whole nother layer to this topic, because in May 2020, Dani opened up that she does in fact suffer from body dysmorphia disorder. So for those who don't know, it is a mental illness involving obsessive focus on a particular perceived flaw in your appearance. So
The flaw is either minor or imagined, but the person basically spends hours a day trying to fix that flaw.
Yeah, well, I think because Danny publicly suffers from body dysmorphia, there is the responsibility of the surgeon to take that into consideration before he does perform surgery.
Well, even if you don't publicly talk about something, surely a doctor would look through your medical records and know this is something you suffer. I mean, for this surgeon to perform elective surgery during a pandemic, that is questionable enough. But when you add on the fact that she does have body dysmorphia, I do not understand how this was allowed to go ahead. And Danny has since slammed the surgeon who performed this surgery. She said, "The people I trusted with my body damaged me." And she said that she should have undergone more research into this.
Well, a lot of people have gone and actually Googled the surgeon, and apparently there are a lot of negative reviews. So it does shock me that someone that is involved in the social media world didn't really take the reviews seriously.
I also do think in terms of YouTube's guidelines, they should take into consideration if somebody does suffer from body dysmorphia, because her comments could affect a lot of people online who are consuming her content. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of her viewers would be young, impressionable women.
Yeah, but I don't know how they actually do that, because there is so many regulations that YouTube needs to actually enforce. I mean, we've spoken about guidelines around giving advice out about health and fitness, of course, about plastic surgery. So I really do feel like YouTube needs to actually start implementing some of these regulations, particularly even just if it's an age limit.
Yeah, I mean, surely people are reporting her content as well. She's a huge influencer. Her content would be flagged by YouTube. It's not like she's some micro influencer that's pushing all of this stuff. She's extremely well known. She would be on YouTube's radar.
I am relieved that she has deleted the video about her breast implant surgery, because I think that's a good step forward. I mean, we have spoken in the past about how Sarah's Day has admitted that she has had issues with disordered eating. However, she has kept that content up that could trigger people into an eating disorder. So I will praise Danny in the fact that she has deleted those vlogs. I do think it's a little bit self-serving though as well, because if viewers were to go back and see her praising the surgery, it would make her look a bit stupid.
Oh my god, we didn't get alcohol.
That's all right.
We'll do our eyes and then we'll get a drink.
Okay,
thank you.
Let's get into the influencer rap. And Jade Tunchi has hit out at fans for questioning her over where she bought her outfits. Now, a lot of people are surprised about this, considering she does deem herself a fashion influencer.
I feel like before we get too much into this, for those who are new to the podcast and maybe don't know much about Jade, I feel like we have to point out, as you said, Kate, she is a fashion and beauty influencer, and she was actually one of the first influencers to create an unfiltered account where she posts real photos that aren't curated. So she likes to think of herself sort of as a comedian and will post funny videos with certain takes on scenarios. So it's really confusing at the moment as to which is comedy and which is real life.
I feel like the account's just an excuse for her to say rude things, but say that it's a joke.
I also want to point out, because we do get a lot of questions about this. So Jade is actually, her name is Turkish. So it is actually pronounced Jade, not Jade. So we do get people saying like, are you pronouncing it correctly? And yes, that is correct.
I love how many people's minds we blew by pronouncing her name correctly. Isn't it funny when you get in your mind that that person's name is Jade, and it's just shocking.
Well, back to the post. I do want to point out that this was posted on her main account, not her filtered account. So you would assume she is being somewhat serious in this. So she told her followers that she wants to eliminate questions about where her clothes are from. Let's throw the clip to see what she said.
I just had a thought. Do you guys want me to create a highlight where I post my mirror selfies and tag the outfits? Because sometimes some of you like to message me a few days after I've uploaded a photo saying, where was that white top from? And I'm like, I wear white almost every day. Which top are you talking about? The one with the sleeves. I want to help you. I do. But you're not giving me much. Anyway, so if I just made a highlight, we could eliminate all of that.
I do not like how she directed this at her followers by saying, some of you like to message me and I would like to help you, but you're not giving me much. It just seemed totally passive aggressive and rude.
I think the ongoing issue with Jade's account and her Instagram stories is that she actually adopts a very condescending tone. And as you said, there seems to be some confusion about what is parody and what is serious, because she does sort of have this alter ego, I suppose, that she, as you said, Amy, sometimes you feel like she's actually using it as an excuse to be rude.
It's kind of like she's saying to her followers, how dare you be interested in what I'm wearing when I'm happy for you to be interested when I'm pushing it and it's an ad. But if I'm not actually being paid to wear the clothes, please don't ask me where they're from.
Yeah, exactly right. It seems like, as you said, she's only willing to tag clothes that she's paid for and then not put the effort in. I mean, in saying that, she is offering to put a highlight reel together, but I feel like that's just something that you could monetize on your page.
What I think that she's sort of forgetting is that, yes, Kate, as you said, she might not be paid to be promoting every single item of clothing that she's wearing, but she is being paid as someone who has curated a large engaged following. So if she doesn't keep her community engaged, then she's not going to get paid. So I really don't understand why it is that difficult to answer people where your clothes are from.
I'm sure she gets probably hundreds of DMs a day about what she's wearing, but I feel like her turning on her fans is really a bad move, because we are seeing, especially in 2021, since the pandemic, we're seeing people getting frustrated with influencers who they once loved, and very much people are turning on them.
Well, it's clear that Jade did cop a lot of backlash from these comments. So on Wednesday, she posted a story about a message she received from a follower. So this was from a follower who called her out. They said, "You are an effing fashion influencer. You get paid to answer those questions you see." So Jade also shared her response, which said, "Bit aggressive, smiley face. Also, no, nobody is paying me to sit on my phone and answer DMs. I answer them because I want to. Thanks for the message. Have a fab day." She then shared this to a story where she obviously included the girl's name and said, "This person is obviously having a bad day, but just wanted to remind you that we are actually not obligated to do anything that we do. We do it because we want to. Don't be like this person." Now, whilst I think Jade is completely in her right to be upset and respond to this person who has sworn at her, I don't think it was fair to share the person's name, because that is just, there's a flow-on effect there. This person is going to get bullied to the nth degree.
I do think that the follower had a point in terms of the message to Jade, but where she went wrong was using the F word and the C word in the message.
Well, if I had received a message like that, I think I would have gone on the back foot too and got a little bit defensive, because I don't think that there's, as you said, they had a valid point, but why did you need to put the swearing in and call her the C word? It was completely wrong. And I do think you would be on the defense thinking, well, this person is a troll, so you wouldn't really care about publicly naming them.
Well, did you see that she also then shared a subsequent story where she said, "People cancel celebs and influencers all the time, but can we also please cancel regular rude people? Like, even it out a little. It'll be great." What did you guys think of that?
We did have a thread going on in our Facebook community about this post, and I very much enjoyed some people's responses, because some of our listeners pointed out, well, hang on, regular people do get cancelled. So if you do something wrong at your job, you get punished. If you are a dickhead in public, I'm sure people are going to have a negative response. So I do feel like Jade was very much out of touch with this comment, because while influencers can go on their story and cry and apologize, and people usually take that on board, if you do something wrong at your job, you get fired.
But also, why is it Jade's choice who she's going to cancel? I mean, she probably gets heaps of comments like that on a daily basis. The best thing to do is ignore. And what, we're going to cancel one girl after she sends a message with a few swear words in it?
And to me, that message is just enticing her followers to further troll this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
two
that's
wrongs
a good
don't
point.
Make a right.
No, why don't you worry about your Megan. Fucking image okay. with your fake toupee okay. and your fucking pedal pushers?
You're acting like you're in a paper.
Everyone knows.
I feel like we cannot ignore the biggest influencer event that has been put on since COVID. Now, this was, of course, activewear brand Stax's launch night at Bondi Event Cinema. Now, they were launching their new PSV4 collection, which actually went on sale last Friday. No, this is not an ad. We were not paid by them to talk about it.
I think we're probably the only people they haven't paid, because it seems like every influencer and their dog was at the event. There was M. Davies, Lily Brown, Shani Grimmond, and of course her boyfriend Jacob Tompkins. There was Talia Skaines and Mitch Third, Tully Smythe,
Connor, Kathleen. Madison Woolley was there, but she chose to take best friend Caitlin Rodriguez. So maybe that was probably one notable influencer that wasn't there, her boyfriend Jonathan Sauer.
Well, do you think that was because Jonathan's ex, Shani, and her new boyfriend were there? Like, I did find it really interesting to see where they were sitting in the cinema.
Well, it seems like Talia Skaines had chosen her side because she was in Team Shani.
Yeah, well, because Talia's friends with both, apparently. But as you said, it seemed like she picked, because I do feel like there was a row of the big-time influencers, which was sort of like Shani Grimmon, Talia Skaines, and Lily Brown. And I feel like Lily Brown really got that party going, because I saw so many Instagram stories of that Friday song playing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Lily Brown literally jumped up and then everyone was dancing.
Well, so what actually went on at this event? Because from what I saw, Stax paid a whole lot of influencers to fly over and also paid for their accommodation. But what was the actual event focused on?
Yeah, well, you are correct in the fact that they did pay for everything, because I watched Connor Kathleen's vlog and she was saying, you know, thank you so much for putting me up in this hotel. They really were treated like absolute rock stars. So at the event, they put on a 19-minute video on the big cinema screen, and the video starred Love Island's Australia, Cassidy McGill, as well as Flex Mami, and the video showcased the 10 new colours from the Seamless collection. Alongside, they had a live fashion parade with actual customers that wear the brand, and these women were in all shapes and sizes and really showcased Stax's diversity in terms of having sizing from size 4 to 24. So I thought that was absolutely amazing. They also had the Veronicas and the Justice crew performing. Now, I feel like this was a little bit copied from the Happy Hour live event, because Jess and Lisa from the Veronicas came out and performed Untouched. I feel like this is becoming an Aussie anthem, and literally the crowd went nuts.
Well, I feel like because they're on the Celebrity Apprentice right now, they're also hot property, they would have cost a fair bit to come to perform at their event.
That's what I was thinking the whole time when I was watching all of these vlogs and Instagram stories. I was thinking, surely Stax must get a decent return on investment for an event like this, because it would have cost so much money to put on.
Oh, definitely. I do wonder, though, does it actually entice people to buy the clothes? Because we had an Insta story up about this, and one of my friends actually messaged and she made some amazing points. She said it actually doesn't make her want to buy the clothing, because she sees all these influencers getting it for free. So she feels a bit stupid that she's almost, you know, gone and been tricked to buy it. And also, if you're wearing all this influencer push stuff, you kind of look like a big tryhard that's just following the trends.
Yeah, well, we did put a poll on our Instagram and we asked our listeners, do influencer events like Stax event influence you to purchase? 87% said no and 13% said yes. I do wonder, though, is that because our listeners are very clued on about the influencer world? Because I do think a lot of impressionable young people would be like, oh my God, I've got to go buy it. I keep seeing it everywhere. So I do genuinely think that they must make money off these type of events.
I think we're heading into a space, though, where people actually think cheapens a brand to have it promoted so much on social media, because you think of all of the brands that you associate with social media and influencers, and it's often teeth whitening kits and all those
kind of Banging Body or HelloFresh
and products that maybe you think, oh, I've tried that and it's been shit. So
I don't think it's so much even about the product being shit. It's literally that, you know, the formula, you have seen everyone promoting Banging Body, so I literally skip those stories as soon as I see them, because I feel like I know what's being said. And I feel like the whole power of influencer marketing and why it took off was because it was such a genuine connection. Like, influencers have this parasocial connection with their audience and you believe in what they're saying. But I feel like over time that has become eroded, and now we're seeing a lot of fatigue around influencer promoted products. And I think Stax now is one of them, because I think it, obviously the brand is really great. I love its diversity. But I do think perhaps they are maybe incorporating too many influencers into their program. Like, maybe they should be a bit more like Gymshark, because I think you know who the Gymshark athletes are, and it seems a little bit prestigious to be chosen, whereas literally every influencer was at this event.
Yeah. It kind of also just, I know they did have the element where they had the real people who were in the Stax gear walking out at the fashion parade, but can they have more real people at the actual event? Because it kind of almost goes, oh, look how important all these people are and they're getting all the clothes for free, but we expect you to pay top dollar for it. It kind of creates this divide amongst the consumer.
Yeah, it did feel a bit like, oh, these influencers are so important. Look at everything we've done for them. But, you know, the customers, oh, here, you have to pay full price, even though, because all the influencers have now gone on their story and they've literally shown that they were gifted, I think it's 10 different colors in the in the range. So, and it's all like the G-strings, the bras, the shorts, the leggings. Like there's a lot of product there that's been given away.
It will actually be interesting to see if this is the last kind of event of this size that Stax does hold, because we'll be able to see whether they actually got return from the investment.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what is next, because I suppose when we're considering what we deem as expensive, it is important to consider that traditional marketing is actually insanely expensive. So sometimes an ad, say in like a publication like The Australian, if you did a full page ad, that can cost around $20,000 to $40,000. And you think about, okay, well, yeah, it would have cost a shitload to get all those influencers there, but think of the massive reach that they've managed to achieve by doing that.
Yeah. Well, on Friday's episode, when we spoke to Brittany Saunders, she revealed that influencers don't actually get paid a fee to appear on a brand trip. So, you know, all the Tarte brand trips, they basically just get paid to fly over and their meals get paid for. And I would kind of put this event into the status of a brand trip because they were flying the influencers over.
So you're thinking that they actually weren't physically paid for the appearance, but they were paid in the form of a trip, because it looked like it was they were having so much fun with all their friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so what I mean is if you added up how much each of the influencers would actually charge to post about Stax on their Instagram and you compare it to the cost of flying them over and making them feel really special, it would be a lot lower. So they've actually done quite well.
Well, we've just been talking about the Stax event, and I suppose this story has kind of stemmed from there because it involves Talia Skaynes. So she seemed to make a bit of a weekend of the event, and she had a shopping day in Sydney. So for those who don't know, she's actually originally from the Gold Coast. Now, Talia decided to share this story with her Instagram followers.
I feel like my body's like trying to fight off a sickness though. Like, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I've got like a sore throat and a cough, and last time when I was trying to sleep my sore throat was so sore. Anyway, just got some Armour Force then to try and knock it on its head, because I feel like my body's just trying to fight it. Got myself a chai latte on oat milk, and I am just wandering around the city and do a little bit of shopping. I'm gonna try not to buy anything, but I've got a few stores that I want to go into, so I'm gonna do that this morning, and then I'm gonna go back and have breakfast in a couple hours.
So there she is, out sick as a dog, complaining of a sore throat and a cough. These are symptoms of COVID.
I could not believe this. And then the excuse that because she's worked in a pharmacy, she knows her body and, you know, she just needs to take this medicine. Hang on, you need to go get a COVID test.
It's so irresponsible though, because one, I just think, why are you posting this on your Insta story? Because surely you're going to cop backlash over it. And two, it seems to be a trend, because I've seen other influencers. There was Madison Woolley and her friendship group were all complaining about being really sick, and none of them said that they went and got COVID tests.
Yeah, well, Madison Woolley actually had to pull her YouTube video because she got so much flack over putting up that she was sick, yet they went out and about getting juices and going to expensive restaurants in Sydney.
They're the type of people, though, that could probably take a bit of time off work to go and get the test. I mean, that's what I don't understand. Just go and get a test and actually promote that to your impressionable followers so people follow suit. We're living in a pandemic at the moment.
Well, I can relate to this very much so, because I have had a bad cold and I went and got a COVID test straight away. And I actually feel like there seems to be a bit of judgment, particularly if influencers are putting up that, oh, I've got a cold and I'm fine. I don't, you know, sometimes you feel melodramatic about doing it. And even at work, I felt slightly awkward. So I just really want to normalize the fact that you do need to get a COVID test, even if you know you don't have COVID. If you show any of the symptoms, it is the most responsible thing you can do. And a lot of people will respect you for it. And it doesn't take very long at all. And it's really not painful.
Also, can we normalize not going out when you're sick? Well, because even if you don't have COVID, it's so irresponsible. And it's also crazy because I went and got my flu shot the other week, and apparently there were only 12 cases of the flu in South Australia compared to, I think it was 2,000 this time last year. And the fact of the matter is, it's because people have actually been staying at home when they're sick and actually washing their hands.
So most people, not influencers.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have. So it shows that if you just stay home and you wash your bloody hands, it can stop the spread of all types of different illnesses.
This stresses me out so much, I want to fucking eat.
Let's get into the reality wrap, and we need to talk about Celebrity Apprentice Australia. It has quickly become my favourite show. Amy, have you been enjoying it as well?
I'm addicted to Celebrity Apprentice. I've got to say, this might be an unpopular opinion, but I've been loving Martha on there, and I've also loved the Veronicas.
Yeah, I've been loving the way she has been standing up for herself, and that's the whole point of the show. Like, you've got to be aggressive in the boardroom to stay there. Perhaps it's a generational thing, because I was talking to Reese's mum and she can't stand Martha, and neither can our dad.
Well, Soph's boyfriend isn't her biggest fan either, but I can see what people are saying. She obviously doesn't hold back when she's telling people what to do, but as a character on a TV show, I find her really entertaining.
Yep.
What's really interesting, because the Veronicas have actually hit out at Celebrity Apprentice and they've labelled it as a scripted drama and claimed that the show has purposely edited them to look bad. So their comments followed a clip which showed the Veronicas arguing while recording their sit-down interview as part of the show. Let's go to the clip.
I think he was just really focused on getting it done. I think he's just... Can you just say it, please? My patience is getting thin, so if you know what needs to be said... Right, because if you know what needs to be said, please say it. It's not important that I say this.
Okay, I'm just letting you know something. You're being a bit much.
I'm irritated. All I need for you is for you to say it rather than tell me how to say it. Do you understand?
Okay, I'll
Thank
say
you.
It.
That would be helpful. It's about being helpful.
I need to take a moment after that, okay? Please stop.
I bloody enjoy that so much. I feel like that is literally a unedited version of our podcast recording.
I know. I feel sorry for them. I felt bad when I saw that had been aired, because I feel like only really close sisters would understand that.
I didn't feel bad for them, because that was literally everything that was on their reality show that they approved. So what's the difference?
That's true. The thing with the Veronicas is, I think they were only rude to each other. They were never rude to other people.
Well, we haven't seen the whole thing unfold, so maybe they're preempting something. Because there was a clip I saw for an upcoming episode, and Jess did seem a little bit rude.
I love the passive aggressiveness. So it's like, babe, or my love. Well, Jess and Lisa wrote on social media, "We came on the show to raise money for charity and awareness for the Brain Foundation. We didn't need to do this show for exposure. We signed on because they stressed and emphasized it would be a show with heart, given we had to take physical time away from our mama to do it. Everyone knows us fighting is a part of our brand. That doesn't bother us. What does is bringing us on board under the pretense of heart, then editing out why we were there in the first place, our love for our team, leaving us only with drama. Our charity deserves so much better."
Well, for those who aren't aware, the Veronica's mum suffers from a rare cerebral disorder, and that is why they have chosen the Brain Foundation as the charity they would like to support. So I feel their pain, because I think it was an important part of their story, and I do think it should have been mentioned.
I mean, it was touched upon, but they've obviously chose to focus on more of the drama. And it does sound like a lot of the celebrities who signed on to Celebrity Apprentice genuinely wanted to be on there to support their charities.
Do you actually think that?
I honestly do, because there have been reports about how much each of the contestants were being paid, and it's considerably lower compared to celebrities who have appeared on I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here and Dancing with the Stars. So Michelle Bridges and Whipper, they were paid the most to appear on Celebrity Apprentice, and they earned $50,000 each.
Sorry, why is Whipper being paid the most? I don't get it, because for me, he's a very background... Like, I mean, he's been quite entertaining, but I wouldn't give a shit about seeing Whipper on a show.
I know, I was surprised too. I suppose he's probably big in Sydney. The Veronicas received together $60,000. Anthony Clear and Ross Noble each received $30,000, and we haven't heard what the other guys were getting.
Because I would say Anthony Clear and Ross Noble were much bigger celebrities than Michelle Bridges and Whipper, because I feel like both of those two actually are going to benefit from the exposure, because Michelle Bridges is trying to redeem herself after she was caught drunk driving with her child in the car. And I think for Whipper, it's all about building his profile. But for Anthony Kalia and Ross Noble, they have pretty successful careers already, as do the Veronicas. One thing that's pissed me off about The Apprentice is the fact that the Veronicas have to act as a partnership. Like, I don't get it. Like, yes, they're twins, but why are they considered one person? This is something that's always really pissed me off as a multiple birth.
Well, I wonder if they had a part of making that decision, whether they just wanted to play as one person or one entity.
I would have found it much more entertaining if they were versing each other and to see that competitive side.
Well, who's your pick to win the Celebrity Apprentice?
Well, isn't there a rumour that Alan Sugars is following Martha?
Yeah, so she is the only contestant that Lord Sugar has gone and followed on Instagram.
Love that you're saying Lord Sugar. Like, I love when they're like, his lordship.
I love Alan Sugar. I think he's great. But yeah, so he's followed her. So a lot of people think that means she must win. But I don't know if I can see Martha taking it out.
I actually can, because she's been very ballsy. And I think, you know, she has what it takes to win in the boardroom.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Outspoken.
If you did like the episode, we would love if you could leave us a review, as it really helps us out. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify and also on Apple Podcasts.
And also on Spotify, if you can leave us a love heart, it really does help out the show.
Oh, I like the idea of the love heart. Yeah. And just a reminder, if you are interested in discussing the topics we've spoken about on the podcast, go and join our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.